Alright, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, and we are digging deeper into the scriptures, into the Psalms, this week looking at one of the great Psalms, Psalm 139. This is one of those, especially when we seek to prove the value of life, even from conception. This is one of the places we turn to. And we'll see a couple of the other places as we go through as well. But let me read through Psalm 139. I'm going to read all 24 verses right at the top, and then we'll get into talking about it. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in your mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was not, where there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me! They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So far, Psalm 139. We have so many things going on in this text. It is really and truly a wonderful psalm. First, we have this idea, as many religions throughout the world and throughout history have had, of God being afar off. Kind of that idea of the watchmaker who creates everything and then just steps back to see how it all plays out. That God is not truly involved in our lives. But David makes us know right off the bat that that is the furthest thing from the truth. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in before and behind. God is very, very involved in the day-to-day life of his people. We talked about it last week in Psalm 136, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, being able to see God right there. His steadfast love giving us that glimpse of his glory, knowing which way we should go. Former congregation I worked with had a wonderful banner that I would try to figure out how to work in once in a while. And it was one of these banners that was homemade and was stitched together like you would normally have, like a patchwork quilt, kind of denoting different parts of life. But the simple message there, a life that is hemmed in by prayer will not become unraveled. And that's exactly what David is telling us in Psalm 139. If we know that we are in the presence of God's steadfast love all the days of our life, every moment of our life will not unravel. Yes, this world may have things that go terribly wrong for us, but we have the promise of life everlasting, a life without all the problems of this world, a life without fear, without sorrow, without mourning, without death, nothing but pure joy in God's presence. That life does not come unraveled if God has you hemmed in because you understand your relationship with Him, that you are His child, His beloved son or daughter, and that you are precious to Him. And that is where we go. Usually when we pick Psalm 139, we go straight to verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. In our scientific age, yes, we know about fertilization. We know about the egg and sperm coming together and that creating life. But who directs which egg comes out in which cycle for the women? Who directs which sperm joins that egg? It's not you. It's not me. God does that. God has knit us together. And therefore, we can say we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We move over to Jeremiah real quickly. Jeremiah chapter 1. As God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet, he says in chapter 1, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Before I formed you in the womb, God knits every single life together. And yes, there may be reasons and sins that come about that created that life, but it is still God's creation. It is still a life that God wants to show His steadfast love to. And in those times where there is some sort of sinful response that brings this sinful situation that brings this conception about, God still wants His steadfast love to be shown to the parents as well. We talk about life issues, especially as we talk about one fighting against abortion, having had Roe overturned by the Supreme Court and being left to the individual states as to where abortion is legal and what limits are put on it. The pro-life movement had a great victory, but the battle is not over. As I said, yes, there are sinful situations that do cause some children to be conceived, but that does not fall on them. The sin is not theirs. And they deserve the steadfast love of God because they have been knit together by God Himself. And in that, every day of that child's life, God already knew. Those who have been tragically and brutally ended in abortion before they were born, God knew when that was going to happen. God didn't make it happen, but He knew it was going to happen. He put people into the lives of the mothers, of the fathers, to try to keep that abortion from happening. But many times, even when people have the best intentions for us, we want to do things our own way. And that's where we slide back into verses 7 through 12. You know, if we wanted to get away from God's presence, We can't do it. God is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. Whether we ascend to heaven, we go down into Sheol, the grave, we go off into the remotest islands that we can find, we blast off into space and try to set up a colony on Mars or Neptune or Pluto or wherever, God is still there. Try as we might, we still cannot get away from God's presence. And thanks be to God for that. Because if God were only present in a certain place, well, that makes him no different than the Baals, the Asherah, and every other god of all the countries, of all the nations that the Israelites dispossessed when they entered the Promised Land. Verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Why are they precious? Because his thoughts are about you. And don't get me wrong. You are not monopolizing God's time with what you are doing, regardless of how holy you are or how sinful you are. God is there thinking about everyone. Striving, hard to say God, striving to bring people into the faith. But then we talk about it in the third article of the Creed, that we have been called by the gospel, brought into the faith. God brings his people into our lives. That is how he thinks of us. He wants all of us, every single one of us. The world population just topped 8 billion not too long ago. God wants all 8 billion to be saved. And he helps those who are, equips them to be able to go out and to evangelize, go out and to bring those people in, so that they might see the wonderfulness, the great majesty of God's works in their lives. And then, of course, David goes on as a man of war in verses 19 through 22 to talk about getting rid of all the enemies. Sin, death, the devil, and all those who strive to do the things of those three. Those who try to bring about their own will, who try to bring about the demonic will that permeates our world, that fills our world with false theologies. The things that you and I wrestle with every day. This is our prayer. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Now, there's complete hatred. We're told not to hate, that Christians don't hate. But Christians hate sin. Christians hate the devil. And this complete hatred can also be translated perfect hatred. This idea that we are standing in the footsteps of our Savior, driving out those things that do not benefit us in this life, that do not promote the fact that God knows each of us very, very personally. More than anybody else can know another person, because he knows us all the way down to the molecular level, to get scientific on it. He has known us ever since before our conception, and he has known exactly what we were going to do. He knew who exactly he was going to bring into our lives. Why? Because every human life is precious to him, because every human life was created by him. All right, that's it for this week. Thank you for being here with me, digging deeper into the Psalms. Next week, getting into the month of December, we are going to finish up the book of Psalms. Next week with Psalms 140 to 142. So I encourage you to be back then for that. Be back for Confessional Corner on Mondays. Pro Wrestling America on Wednesdays if you are into that. But getting into December, we have the great seasonal things going on with the O Antiphon devotions starting the 17th of December. The 12 Days of Christmas devotions starting Christmas Day. Be here for all those as we strive to equip you to wrestle with the theology around you. Amen.